sometimes I get distracted during the show, and I apologize. Like, I'll be going one direction, and then someone on the text line, or I'll see something on the internet, and it'll distract me, and it'll cause me to go in a different direction. So, for those of you, and I this will not take very long, I promise. So, we played the audio of the young lady that works at 100.9 The Mitt in some rural town in Michigan. She believes that Patrick Mahomes is overrated.
Patrick Mahomes, most overrated quarterback in the league. I'm completely out on him. I'm completely out on the Chiefs. Once they made a Hallmark movie, I was like, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him. I think Josh Allen's a better quarterback. He's 6'5". He can play in cold weather. And I'm just completely out on Patrick Mahomes. I think he's like the influencer of like NFL. Like, I feel like people just like overhype him up, and then that's why they win so many games.
So we played this audio on the other side of it, and then someone asked if this was the same person, and it made me laugh. I'm sorry. This was funny. The text line made a very funny joke.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. Or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
Thank you very much.
I forgot that audio existed. I really forgot about that. We'll move on. I just have one thing. Why does she say here in all caps? Do you have an answer for that? Like, she's answering it in one tone, and then she just says over here in all caps. It never made sense to me why she did that. It was,
Hold on, that's the part of that clip that throws you into a tizzy?
I mean, there's a million things that throw me off about that clip, but that is the part that, like, if you were asking what part I laugh at the most, it's that she says here in all caps. I mean, her answer, we know, but that part, it's the funniest part to me. That audio, it will never not be funny to me. If you ever hate what we're talking about on the show, just send in, hey, you guys should play Miss South Carolina. And I will likely stop whatever we were doing, and we can play the Miss South Carolina because it always makes me laugh. That might be the best 30-second clip we've ever had. Or we've, like, as a society, we might not have ever had a better 30 seconds of a human being speaking than we had right there from the answer of...
For 30 seconds, yes. That's not our best cut in the system, though, because Barry Hinson is our best cut in the system.
We do love that one. Me and you do love that one. We do.
I will not hear any slander for him yelling sniper.
No, that's fair. That's fair. That is our favorite audio clip. No, that's right. All right. I promise you we'll get back to very serious sports things. Hit the button, Rob.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Well, Kansas City's hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Hopefully, if you go to Baker, you can identify the United States on a map. That would be
such as the South Africa.
Yeah, it was a lot going on there. I wonder whatever happened to that young lady. I would love to know, where are they now? What's Miss South Carolina doing? She's probably the CEO of some Fortune 500 company. You know, like, she's probably turned out
really
to
good
be a very successful human being, and she'll just never be able to live that down. Like, oh, you're that girl that had that one clip on the internet. Oh, yeah, that was me. No, I remember. That was you. You'll never get away from that moment. All right, let's talk about the Royals. There was the good and the bad of the Royals. Rob, do you want to start with the good or the bad from the Royals this weekend?
Let's start bad and build to good.
The bad. They lost a series to the White Sox. The White Sox they're bad. I'm sorry, they're bad. Like, there's no way to spin this as a positive. There's no way to dress this up. The White Sox are a terrible team. They are the worst team in the American League. They are the second worst team in all of baseball. The Royals had a chance to be in second place in their division if they had simply won the series against the White Sox. I'm not saying you got to go undefeated against the White Sox. That's not realistic to do. But can you take 2 of 3? 2 of 3 against the White Sox? You got to be able to take 2 and 3. Now we're sitting here looking at it. The Royals are a game back of the Cleveland Guardians. They're a game and a half back of the Minnesota Twins. They're 8.5 games back out of the Detroit Tigers. They have a minus run differential. We've been playing baseball now. We are at game 68 for the Royals. This was a weekend that the schedule gods gave you to get right. You won the series against the St. Louis Cardinals. You're going on the road to the Chicago White Sox. You're feeling good about yourself. You know, this is a series that you're supposed to take care of business, and the Royals did not take care of business. So that's the bad. There's really no other way to put it. There are some teams that the expectation every time you go against them, you need to either take 3 or 4 in a 4-game set, or you got to take 2 or 3. There's no reason to let the White Sox beat you in a series. Now, they got another one of those opportunities coming up this weekend at Kauffman Stadium. They have the Athletics. Yes, they don't even have a name right now. They're not the Oakland Athletics or not the Sacramento Athletics. They haven't moved to Las Vegas yet. They are just the Athletics. They are 26-41, and you got a weekend set against them. So, same logic applies. Same logic. There's no reason to lose a home series against the Athletics. None. Do you want to know what their run differential is? Their run differential is minus 115. They're bad. In fact, that's the second worst run differential in all of baseball behind the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies shouldn't even count because they're not a Major League Baseball team. They're not. I'm not sure if the Rockies would win the College World Series, and I'm not even joking. I'm not 100% convinced that this team would be the best minor league baseball team. Not convinced of that at all. They're bad. All-time bad. The A's are, they're close. They're not all-time bad. They're regular bad. You cannot afford in back-to-back weekends to lose a series to the Chicago White Sox and also lose a series to the Athletics. So that's the bad part of it. The good part of it is we are one sleep away from the Kauffman Stadium debut of Jack Caglione. And you know what? Jack Caglione did what he was supposed to do this past week. His first hit was an RBI double against the St. Louis Cardinals. And yesterday, he got, count them, 4 hits yesterday against the Chicago White Sox to now bump his average up to 240. Now, I think people are still going out there tomorrow. The weather's going to be beautiful. The Yankees are in town. It's dollar hot dogs. It was going to be his major league debut. I don't think the shine was going to completely be off of tomorrow's game if he goes 1 for 4, for example. But going 4 for 4, he's hitting 240. We're all waiting for that first home run ball. You think that it could happen this week at Kauffman Stadium? There's a lot to be positive about with Jack Caglione. He has certainly looked the part. He has hit the ball hard. He has given you a little extra base power. He had 4 hits yesterday. He has made a solid transition to the major leagues. And you expect, obviously, you expect more from him. You expect more extra base hits. You expect the power to get there. He's hit the ball hard. I don't think that we're too far away from that, Rob. So if you want to start with the Kansas City Royals, the bad is you cannot lose series to the Chicago White Sox. A major reason why this team made the postseason last year is they pummeled the White Sox. They lost more games this weekend than they did all of last year against the Chicago White Sox. So that's inexcusable. And then the positive is Jack Caglione continues to be what we thought, what we expected. Tomorrow's going to be a really, really fun day at Kauffman Stadium. They just haven't had many days like that. I'm removing Bobby Witt Jr. and I'm removing Alex Gordon from this conversation because their first game was opening day. That's just, it's different. It's 35,000 people going out there regardless if you make your major league debut or not. A lot of those people tomorrow that are going out to Kauffman Stadium are going out there because of him. In a baseball game in which Aaron Judge will be playing, in a baseball game in which Bobby Witt Jr. will be there, in a game in which Noah Cameron will be starting, and Noah Cameron is one of the best stories in baseball for the last 6 weeks, there is going to be a pretty decent pocket of people that are going to Kauffman Stadium on a Tuesday, and they are going out there to watch him play. The Royals haven't had many days like that. They had a day like that with Zach Greinke. They had a day like that with Eric Hosmer. There's probably one more that I'm missing, but they haven't had many of those in the last 25 years. So tomorrow's going to be a really cool, really, really fun day. I texted the Royals to get an idea of attendance. They're still trying to get a figure on it and just kind of an idea of how many people they think are going to be out there tomorrow. I think, Rob, you and I are on the same boat. I think they're getting somewhere between 32 and 35. I think it's the right combination of everything. I think it's the right combination of everything. Yankees in town. Aaron Judge is in town. Dollar hot dogs tomorrow. Noah Cameron on the mound. The weather is good. School is out. I think it is the right combination of everything. Jack Caglione, I think tomorrow they're getting like 235. I think it will be noticeable that there is a boost because he is in town tomorrow.
I feel like all those things are true. And I feel like Caglione and Cags Mania, to your point, added an extra jolt of life yesterday. I think they were always going to do well attendance tomorrow. All the factors at play. It's no matter what, it was always going to be Caglione's home debut. It was always Dollar Dogs. It was always the Yankees. It was always Aaron Judge. It was always all, and the weather's going to be good. It was always going to be all those things. But I think it got an extra jolt in the arm yesterday because, and me and you were talking about this in the office, if Cags didn't hit in Chicago, like he just wasn't hitting at all, a guy with big hype and big expectation coming home hitting 111 was going to be a big draw. The fact he went 4-for-4 yesterday with a double, and now fans can, like, we always talk about you have to give them something. Now the average fan can see it with Cags. They can see it when he comes up to Crown Vision. Hey, he's hitting this. He has this slug percentage. Because if he hadn't gone 4-for-4 yesterday, when they looked at Jack Caglione, there was going to be a part of them that went, oh, yeah, I mean, his average stinks. His slug percentage is, Like, there was going to be a little bit of hesitation because the Royals have sold you on prospects before. But now you have the Nerdcore fans that will tell you about the exit velo, and you have the accounting stats, which now show you, oh, he's one of those. He's a good hitter. Tomorrow has a chance to be really, really it might be the most anticipated Royals regular season game since the clinch in 2015 when they won the AL Central.
It's like, definitely high up on that list of games. If you're not counting the postseason, you're not counting those games. Funny enough, and I just looked this up. I didn't know. Did you know that they played the Yankees last year in their home series at the exact same time in the schedule? They played the Yankees last year at Kauffman Stadium, June 10th, June 11th, June 12th, June 13th. The exact same schedule last year. This is what they did in attendance last year. They did 24,000, 22, 25, and 21 for the four-game series at home against the Yankees last year. I think it will be a noticeable increase in people from those. They only got more than 25,000. Like, the Yankees weren't even a big draw for the Royals. I mean, 25,000, yeah, it's a nice crowd, but, I mean, you know, when you got one of those kind of teams coming in there, a marquee team like that, that's when you're expecting to have a big day. I think they're having a big day tomorrow. I really do. I think they're having a big day tomorrow. I think interest is higher now than it was a year ago at this time. Like, more people are bought in, more people are watching, where people are keeping up with the Royals than I think they were a year ago. And I think there is a certain buzz around this player. I think it will be noticeable. I think it will be noticeable that people are out there to go see him play.
I feel like, now I did not go to the game in, I believe it was 2011 or 2012 when Hosmer made his debut, but I had friends who went to that game and they said the entire ballpark was there for one reason, that it was just to see Eric Hosmer. I don't think that's going to be the case tomorrow, but I think there's a pretty large contingent of what people would consider a walk-up crowd. Heck, I'm part of the walk-up crowd. I have tickets for tomorrow night. You're part of the Eric Coyne walk-up crowd. You're not a season ticket holder going to the game tomorrow
night. I got mine.
We are going for Jack Caglione. I was talking to Gold in the office today. He's going to the game tomorrow, or for Jack Caglione. Like, all the other things are great. I do like seeing Aaron Judge.
Gold at this point's kind of committed to the bit. You got to be out there.
Well, yeah. Keep an eye on his Instagram. Yeah, I guarantee there's a photo. 100%. I know the section Gold's going to be in too, because the same photo every game that he's in. He's always in the club level.
He's probably next to me. He's probably real close to where I'm sitting. You know, I love sitting that little second section, that little club level. I love sitting right there.
Is he as adverse to spiral as you are? Does he look at it and say,
yeah,
no?
I'm not going up that thing. Come on now. I'm not going up there. I'm going up one escalator at Kauffman. I ain't going up the second one. I'm not going back up there. Never. No point in my life will I go back up that other escalator. You know what? I appreciate Gold, because Gold's the exact same way. Yeah, I sit in that one little section. I got my nice little usher. Norma is her name. Very kind woman. I try to sit in Norma's section. I like Norma. Shout out to Norma. I don't know if she's listening, but shout out to her.
Gold only sits in the yellow seats during Chiefs games. He refuses to go up or down a level.
He said, I'm not sitting with you peasants. That's what he told you. He said, I'm not sitting with you guys. What's hit number two, Rob?
Number two.
Speaking of the Kansas City Royals, Carrington.
Oh, someone on the text line said, how many people will stop by to see you and Rob is the bigger question. No one for the first 2.5 hours of the show.
If it's even like the playoff game last year, it'll be like the last hour and people will stop you for a photo.
It'll
be like,
busy
Rob,
then, yeah.
Slide
sure.
out. It'll the amount busy. Of Rob slide out photos we had last year in the postseason game did hurt my soul a little bit.
The funniest thing when people see Rob, they're like, hey, do you work there? Yeah, he does, actually. He's there every day, too.
Yeah, that's what's great. I sit next to you with a headset on. Hey, what do you do? I'm an accountant.
That is what they do. It's always very funny.
I'm in sales. I just get to hang out here.
I don't ever play you, though. Give me that. Give me credit. I don't ever play you.
No, no, you do a good job.
Yeah, I don't ever play you. No, this is Rob. You know him. Like, then I'd be like, oh, yeah. Hey, can you take this picture? I at least want you to get the, oh, yeah. You deserve that, too.
That happened with HUD last year, too. They wanted a photo with you and HUD, and they were like, and who are you? And I'm like, Rob. And they're like,
we got to get HUD to come by tomorrow.
Tomorrow's a busy day for HUD. It's Caglione's debut. I'll text HUD, though, see what he's doing tomorrow.
Yeah, someone said the Loge level is elite at Kauffman. That's the best place to sit. It's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close. There's no lines for the bathrooms. There's no line in the concession. The seats are nice. It's underneath the awning. Yeah, the Loge level, if you're going to Kauffman, put me there. That's where I want to be.
I also would tell you something. People don't take the escalator. They take the spiral and they stop. Take the escalator. Yeah, it's right there.
That's crazy.
People are dumb.
No, that's nuts.
Speaking of the Kansas City Royals, Carrington, you were perusing the internet earlier today, reading things like The Athletic and ESPN, and you noticed something interesting. They have at least the two obvious Royals as locks, Chris Bubich and Bobby Witt Jr., to be All-Stars, but those two publications also mentioned Carlos Estevez and Michael Garcia as possible All-Stars. Do you believe the Royals will get over 2.5 All-Stars as voting has opened up for the All-Star game this year?
Yeah, I think they're going to get one additional All-Star. I think they're going to get one. I think we know the two that they are getting for sure. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to the All-Star game. Where's the All-Star game this year? Atlanta?
Whatever the suburb is, but Atlanta, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because they didn't go the one time, they're going back. Okay, so Bobby Witt Jr. will be in Atlanta. Chris Bubich will also be in Atlanta. He deserves it. He is an All-Star this year. I think they'll get one more. It's just hard to kind of pinpoint who that person would be. If it was Michael Garcia, it would be really, really good. Michael Garcia is a player that baseball should want to highlight and want to celebrate. He has had a really good season. He is 25 years old, and he is having a career year. He is going to have a career high in home runs. His career high in home runs was 7 before this season. He already has 7, so he hits one more home run this season. He will have a career high. He has 31 RBIs so far. He's already stolen 13 bases. He's hitting .312. There's not that many players that are hitting .300 this year. He is an important player on a team that you think could make the postseason this year, certainly in the conversation. Michael Garcia and his versatility, if he ended up being one of the last players to make the All-Star game, or he doesn't make it originally, but we all know somebody gets hurt, somebody gets injured, somebody can't go, somebody can't make the trip. If he ends up being an alternate, that would be a really big win for him, obviously, a really big win for the organization, and just a really cool baseball story about a guy who last year hit .231. He is hitting 80 points higher than he was last year and is having a career year on a good organization. So I'm here for the Michael Garcia story. If they let Carlos Estevez, he'd make a lot of sense to me to be a relief pitcher. He kind of feels like somebody that would be in that same vein, a fringe all-star and a highly likable or highly likely probable for somebody if somebody gets nixed out of the All-Star game.
I still think, and we can disagree on this. First off, we agree the All-Star game's lost a lot of its juice and luster, but I still think if you're, maybe this is me seeing it through Royals color glasses. I think if you're setting an over-under for Royals players to make the All-Star game, I think the number's too low at 2.5. I think it has to be 3.5. And I know that people don't follow other baseball teams like that, and the All-Star game is goofy and has everyone has to have representatives. So, you know, some guy from the White Sox who's in their bullpen and doesn't get slapped around might be the pick, and it affects the calculus a little bit. I get all those things, but, you know, they make these picks not based on gut feel or what they see. It's a lot of times based on the same old box score that, you know, old heads used to look at in the newspaper. And you know what's going to show? Carlos Estevez is second in the AL in saves. And you and I watch the games. It is a nail-chewing second in saves. But he is, in fact, second in saves. If you're going to take multiple relievers, you're going to take a setup man for the Orioles over Carlos Estevez, especially considering if the Orioles, Gunnar Henderson will probably get in. It is very possible this is homerism by me, but I think the number starts at 3.5, and we just argue about if Mikel is or isn't one, because I think 3 is happening. Bubich, Bobby, and Estevez.
Yeah, I think it's hard to get 4 All-Stars when you're a borderline 500 team the way that the Royals are. You might be deserving of getting those guys, but you and I both know if there's a 50-50 between you and somebody on the Yankees, or you on somebody in a team that leads their division. I mean, you're in fourth place in your own division, and you are right now out of the wild card picture. You wouldn't be in the wild card. You were certainly in the picture. My apologies. So I just think it's hard for you to justify having 4 All-Stars in that scenario. That's why I think 2.5 feels like a really good number. Hey, you guys have had a great season. We're going to give you one position player. We're going to give you one pitcher, and then we may give you another player. Another guy who is deserving of being an All-Star. So obviously see what happens. If you want to vote for these guys, you certainly can. Go on MLB.com. The All-Star voting is opened up. Be great if you could get Mikel Garcia into the All-Star game. Coming up on the other side, Rob, there is a story that has torn the internet apart. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine. Just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
All right. I'm gonna stand up on my soapbox and let me complain about two things. Let me get my takes out. Number one, I'm really frustrated with how they're doing the NBA finals. And it has nothing to do with the basketball. I think we are seeing the public push back on the way that basketball is being covered. I'm tired of hearing LeBron and Jordan debates. Tell me some stories about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Talk more about Jason Tatum. Talk more about Tyrese Halliburton. Why do we continue to argue about these things? I like the way we cover the NFL. We give you a little bit of both. You get the nonsense in the NFL. Trust me. We get the nonsense. But it always gets back to the product. It always gets back to the game. It gets back to on the field. That is not the way we cover the NBA. And I think the NBA fan is saying enough. We want a different version of media conversations around the league. A lot of fans are unhappy with the way that the NBA finals are being presented. Now, maybe this is just being old guys screaming at the clouds, but the NBA finals used to feel like something. It used to feel like a major sporting event. And I see the way that other sporting events are treated. I see the care that is given towards the Field of Dreams game. I see the field, the care that is given towards the Negro Leagues game. I see what they did for an exhibition hockey game. That Four Nations is an exhibition. It is not the Olympics. It is just a regular exhibition. If you watch that game, the presentation was perfect. And I think NBA fans are asking, hey, why can't you guys do that for us? We can't even put finals on the court anymore. We don't get to watch the national anthem. We don't get to watch the starting lineup. We don't get to watch any of that. It's Stephen A. Smith talking for an hour before the game, and then we just tip the game off. No, we want more of the pageantry. We want more moments like we used to get with Bob Costas back in the day.
Where is it born? The fire. The hunger that grips an individual so intensely, it drives his entire team. Two men lie at the heart of the NBA championship. Each has traveled a vastly different path. Each has pulled his team to the same point in time. Michael Jordan permits nothing but success, a national championship at North Carolina, two Olympic gold medals, three times the NBA MVP, twice a world champion.
My main driving force is to win three in a row and certainly somehow put myself in the elite category of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird.
Charles Barkley's road has been less satisfying. His days at Auburn brought little glory. His NBA career largely squandered on a team that could not win, yet this year brought a new sense of destiny, a gold medal, a new team, the MVP.
The bottom line, the MVP is not my goal. If we don't win the world championship, I'm going to be crushed.
Two men, two paths, but one trophy. Only one champion.
You would get that kind of intro from Bob Costas. You got Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, the music from Jurassic Park leading you into the iconic NBC basketball music. We're giving you a live breakdown from the court, and now we're about to play the game. It felt like something. ESPN treats the NBA Finals like it's a regular season game. Like it's a Friday game between the Sixers and the Cavs on ESPN. No, it's the finals. Dress it up and make it real for me. Give me something. I'm not interested in that. So maybe I'm old guy screaming at the moon. I want it to feel like something. I want it to matter. I want them to care. That's it. That's all I want. The basketball will be the basketball. You can't control that. You can control how it's packaged. You can't control how it's delivered, and you guys deliver it like you just don't care. You guys care about Monday Night Football. We get the regular broadcast. We get the Manning cast. That Monday Night Football is a big deal. It is a big deal. You guys care about those little Saturday games on the NFL that you give us in December. Yes, you should. You spend a lot of money. You gave the NBA billions of dollars to broadcast their games, and you just don't care? It's weird to me. That's one thing I'm going to complain about. The second thing I'm going to complain about. Did you guys see that Tinder is testing out a new height filter? So you know how you can, you know, select the kind of person that you're interested in, right? You remember, you know, you back in the day, Rob, don't look like you weren't on Tinder back in the day. You was on Tinder swiping right too. Well, now they have given you a preference on the height. And a lot of men are saying, wait, hold on, that's not fair. You can just filter me out of it? Now, this is where I'm going to stand up for the short kings. Now, sometimes I know that we on this show like to make fun of you from time to time, but I hope you know that it's just jokes and you should be used to it the whole time. I'm telling you that she shouldn't penalize you because you need a step stool to go get a bowl off the top shelf. I don't think that that's right. I don't think that she should penalize you for that. In one way, she can't come on here looking for love and a lasting relationship. Love, all of those things are right there with you, but she's overlooking you because you're 5'8". You can't control how tall your parents were. That had nothing to do with you. And how dare she have this opinion? She's 5'2". She's going to look down at you for being 5'8"? It's not right. This is the kind of isms that we got to get rid of. We got to get rid of height-ism. I want to get rid of more isms, and this isn't right. They shouldn't be allowed to do this on the Bumble, on the Tinder. They shouldn't be able to filter you out. You're not even getting a chance. The woman of your dreams could be right there, one swipe away, but she won't even give you a chance because you're 5'9"? You're a good man. You got a good job. You go to church every Sunday. Got a great relationship with your mom. You're a pediatrician, but she won't give you a chance because you're 5'8". That's not right. Rob, we got to stand up for those shorter than us. We got to stand up and we got to tell Bumble and Tinder that this isn't right. You can't create a height filter on there. You're blocking love.
Listen, I'm going to put this in the spin zone.
do you know what? This is actually better for the short guys. Because now, the women who have no interest in your height, and they go on a first date, and the minute they see you, and they're like, nope, they're out. They might lie and say they got sick and not show up anymore. Now, the women that are okay and are seeking a short king, they have a better chance of finding you. You don't have to sift through the only looking for 6'2 riffraff. You can find the lady who wants you at 5'4. This just creates more opportunities for the short kings. I think this is great work by Bumble.
Stop
yes.
It.
Yes. Obviously, there are some women that are going to set it up and you're
going
to get screwed.
This isn't right. No, this isn't right. And let's be real here. This isn't right.
If they had a financial feature, it would screw a lot of people too, but
this
that's
isn't
the
right.
game.
This isn't right because if men ask for there to be a weight filter on there, the ladies will be hot. If you like, no, you cannot do this. This is not right. I'm standing up for them. No, delete this from the app. This ain't right. You're telling me that you fit all the criteria? Because we all know people have a checklist that they want to. Oh, it's fine. You are allowed to like what you want to like. But you're telling me that you fit all the criteria. You know, you're a good man, good credit. Funny, good sense of humor. You and her like the exact same things. She's the one for you. You just don't know it yet. You and her are compatible. She's not going to give you a chance because you're not 6'2"? That's messed up. That's messed up. She's getting in her own way right now. Which, if you're on the Tinder and the Bumble, you're open to new ideas. That's the point of being on there. Your old way of trying to find a man was not working. It had yielded no fruit. Now go on here. Expand your horizons. Go on a date with that 5'7 man. I bet you go on a date with Jose Altuve. That's the problem. You don't make enough for her. That's the issue.
I mean, they have
I'm standing up.
They have a whole app based on how much money. It's called, was it Raya? Raya?
I'm not on that. I don't get on there.
You know, if you don't have money, you can't even download it.
That's terrible. I'm telling you. That's not right. I'm saying stand up for yourself, Kings. That's what I'm saying. Stand up for yourself. I'm on your side. Rob doesn't sound like he's on your side.
I feel like saying stand up for the short kings is a low-key, it's a backhanded compliment.
This whole segment is me defending him. This whole segment is me, I'm on your side. She should not be able to do that. Because if you went on there and was like, yo, I want a girl to weigh less than 185, they'd be hot. They'd be on your heels if you said that. You're not allowed to say that, but she could say she don't want to talk to you because you 5'9". It's messed up. Equality. That's what I'm here for. Equality and let's erase isms. She has heightism. That's not right. It's not right. She shouldn't be able to do that. The drive will stand up for you. That's what we will. We'll stand up for you. 100%. Keep it right here.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Hey, I would highly encourage you guys to check out the podcast today. I think we had a really fun, good show today. We had Felix Onyedike Uzomah join us on the show. He even read texts from the text line earlier today. Was reading them from the text line. I mean, that never happens. Never. I don't think we've ever had a current player just read the text line before. That's never happened. So I would highly encourage you guys to go check it out. It would mean a lot to me if you went back to go check it out. Rob, we have no Royals today. We have no NBA today. What do you have planned today? What are you going to do? What are you going to watch? Is there hockey on today? Is the Stanley Cup still going on?
I think there's hockey today.
Yeah, we don't know nothing about that on this show.
That's not really my lane, per se.
I feel like you either got to be a soccer guy or a hockey guy. You can't be both.
Both would be a lot. Unless you're in a hockey town. Like, in a non-hockey town, that's a lot. Like, if you're in St. Louis, okay, you can do both. But to be in Kansas City,
I don't even know there if there's a both. You think there's somebody in St. Louis? I mean, it's a little different because they don't have a football team, so you're right. It might be a little bit different.
St. Louis, bad choice. I'm
trying to think. Houston, they still got a team? Dallas. They got an MLS team, too.
Texas is unfair.
Okay, good point. I don't know enough about the MLS to participate in
this. Chicago has an MLS team and a hockey team.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a crossover there.
No. There's no way you love the Blackhawks and you love, what's their team, the Fire?
Mm-hmm.
I was right. They're the Chicago Fire.
They're about to get a new stadium.
Wow.
Where the White Sox were going to build, they just bought the land out from under them.
That was a random guess. I just guessed fire. It just felt like that's the name of the soccer team. I did not know. I can't tell you a single person on the Fire. I don't think I've ever seen them. I don't know what their jerseys look like. I just took a random guess. It felt like an MLS team name, the Chicago Fire.
They're Chicago Fire. Or actually, now, are they Fire FC now? I think they're Fire FC now.
Fire FC.
Yeah. I bet you there's a Chicagoan who both likes Fire FC and the Blackhawks. I bet it's more likely that person exists than a White Sox fan in general.
That's a good point. Today, there actually is the Stanley Cup Finals. It is tied at one game apiece. It is Edmonton and Florida. So if you want to catch game three, I will. I think I'm going to be watching the most anti-hockey thing ever. I'm going to be watching the BET Awards.
That's on a Monday night?
That's how far it's fallen, my brother.
I mean, this may stun you.
They're doing this in downtown L.A. There's a lot going on in downtown L.A. right now, but they're doing this in downtown L.A. They're doing a tribute to 106 and Park. That was to America's TRL. I don't know if you watched 106 and Park.
I was aware it was on at the same time as TRL.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It was two Americas.
They were one channel apart. So if you were, there was a time where I would flip back and forth because it was that early 2000s hip hop that crossed both, you know, lines. Like, oh, look, there's Usher. Then you flip back. Hey, there's Usher again. It was not the same Usher song, but Usher was on both.
Okay, yeah, no. I didn't know if you watched a lot of 106 and Park. So they have like all the hosts and they're doing a tribute today. So I will be watching the BET Awards. Again, I don't know if you can get much more anti-Stanley Cup final than the BET Awards coming up later today. It's actually the same time, 7 o'clock.
I am actually headed out to see a screener of How to Train Your Dragon, the live-action version.
Oh, cool.
Cool. My wife's a big DreamWorks fan, so screener existed. Let's go see it.
Cool. That sounds like a great time.
Did you ever see the animated version?
Never.
It's not bad. It's predictable, like they all are, but it's not bad.
I can't think of the last animated movie that I watched from start to finish. Yeah, it's not really my genre of movies. You know what? No. We're not counting like the Disney remakes of movies, right? Like,
yeah, this is a remake.
I mean, an actual like
the original.
For example, I've never seen Shrek. I've never seen Finding Nemo.
Really?
I've never seen a lot of those movies. I've never seen them before, and I don't really have much of an interest.
I was
going to
use Shrek as my example because Shrek is coming back.
I've never seen Shrek before.
Really?
Most of those, like I've never seen Up. I've never seen Encanto.
Wow.
Most of those movies I've never seen.
You've never seen Up? Up's a tearjerker.
I don't even know what Up's about.
It's just sad. Don't
watch
Up.
Some old man in balloons. That's all I know. Again, everybody has their own kind of genre movie. I've never. Now, the only movie of that genre that I like is Toy Story. I'll watch every Toy Story. I will be in the theater. First one, I love Toy Story. But all those other ones, yeah, it's not really my cup of tea. But if those of you that enjoy it, hey, salute to you. If you are excited about going to see Lilo and Stitch, hey, have at it. A lot of people have seen Lilo and Stitch. It's going to be the most watched movie this year, probably. Well, I hope you guys have a fantastic Monday night. Whatever you plan on doing, maybe you're just spending time with the wife. Maybe you're going out to have a drink. Maybe you're going out to smoke a cigar on the back deck, back patio. Whatever it is, man, I hope you have a fantastic evening. We will be back tomorrow. We're actually going to be live at Kauffman Stadium tomorrow. Really excited for tomorrow's show. Come stop by. It's The Drive.